Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. This program addresses the topics surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor, Bible teacher, and conference speaker for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word.
I'm so glad you tuned in, and it's another day that the Lord has given us, another day that is closer to the time when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth to take over and rule. And we see that man isn't doing too well on his own, but when our Creator, when the Lord Jesus comes back, every problem that has remained unsolvable will be solved at that time. And so we can thank God for it. Now, we're in the book of Revelation, and if this book had not been in the Bible, we would not have a conclusion to the Bible. But Genesis is the book of beginnings. Revelation wraps it up, ends the Bible, and it deals with all the things that need to be taken care of. And so we're going to start in Revelation 19, verse 6. We've been going through Revelation, and today while we're getting closer to the end of it. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now, here we have a great crowd of people in heaven, and they are praising God because Jesus has come back to rule over this earth. And this earth that has been full of injustice, that has been full of wars, that has been full of murder and slaughter and everything that is evil, will suddenly be taken over by the Creator of the universe, who is perfect and right. And the problems that man cannot solve and has not solved will be instantly solved. And so the crowd and the great multitude of people are praising God for this. And so they are thanking Him for what He is and what He will do. And in verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Now, the marriage of the Lamb is pictured in the time of Christ. The Jews had a certain custom, and the Bible follows this custom. A man would meet a lady, and he would be married to her, and yet they would not come together, and he would leave, and he would go and build her a house, and then he would come back and take her. And she did not know when he was going to come back. And so we are married to Christ now, but we have not come, we have not personally seen Him. But at this time in history, we will be raptured and taken up into heaven, and we will see the Lord, and then the marriage will be celebrated as we see the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says His wife, that is, His wife is made up of all those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says here, the marriage of the Lamb. Now, this is mentioned two times in this chapter, the Lamb. We see this all through the book of Revelation. And again, God is using this as a reminder to tell people that He is inviting them to come to heaven and to forgive their sins and become part of His great family. You see, worldwide before Christ, people would to come to God, they would have a custom that might seem strange to us today, but they felt like to come to their God, whoever He was, that they would have to sacrifice an animal. And generally, it was a lamb. And then they could come to God. And right at the very beginning, in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, we see that Cain and Abel, to come to God and talk to Him, they would have to bring and sacrifice a lamb. And by doing that, they were saying, we are a sinner, we are guilty of dying, but we are putting our faith in the substitute that You have given us, and that is a lamb. The lamb will die in our place. Now, with the Jewish people, for them to come to God, they had to take their sacrifice of an animal to the temple in Jerusalem. And if it wasn't taken to the temple, then God would not accept it. And in fact, they would even be put to death if they would sacrifice anywhere else except at the temple. God said they had to come where God put His name. Well, of course, when God destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, he was saying, I no longer want you to come to the temple and sacrifice that lamb. And the reason he said this was because Jesus was the final sacrifice. And God no longer put his name at the temple. It was destroyed, but he put his name on Jesus. And so when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he is our sacrifice, and we come where God has put his name on Jesus. And when we receive him, when we invite him into our life in a simple prayer, we have eternal life and we have forgiveness. You know, so many people today, they have gone to church for years, but they don't understand the simplicity of salvation. The Bible says when Jesus died, he died for all of our sins. He was punished for every sin. And so one day we can meet God without a record that we have ever sinned because he has been punished for it. And you see that in Passover. God said, all the firstborn in Egypt will die, but if you sacrifice the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost, he said, the death angel will pass over and the firstborn will not die. Well, if you have been only born once and you haven't been born again, if you've just been born the one time, then when the death angel comes, he will take you and you will spend eternity without God and pay for your own sin. But if you've been born the second time, the blood of Jesus Christ will cover your sin. And by receiving him, Christ's blood covers your sin. And so you are forgiven and go to heaven. And that's why in Revelation constantly it mentions Jesus as the Lamb of God. And God is saying, look, I paid for your sin. Accept me. So God will accept you and you will be forgiven by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, the message that he gave was, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so when you receive Jesus, your sin is taken away, and you can look forward to meeting God without any record that you have ever sinned. Now it says here, and to her was granted, that is to the wife of the Lamb, which is made up of all the people that have accepted Christ, she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, this is another thing people don't understand. Most people are hoping to get to God by their own righteousness. God says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags because they're mixed with sin. And Jesus Christ has lived a perfect life, and he is perfectly righteous. And the Bible says that Abraham believed God, and that was about the miracle of a supernatural birth of a son, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so our sins are counted to Jesus when we receive him, but his perfection and righteousness is counted to us when we receive Jesus, and his righteousness is the only righteousness God accepts. You know, this teaching and this doctrine is taught from Genesis to Revelation. You know, people believe that by their good works that God will accept them, but then they don't know if they're accepted by God, if they believe that. And this is taught by so many religions, most religions. But the Bible says in the Old Testament, the Bible says the Lord is our righteousness. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, God's righteousness is counted to us, his absolute perfection. Now it says, and he saith unto me, and we're in Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So he says, blessed are they that are called. You know, God is simply getting a family together, and he wants you to be part of his family. And that is a family of everlasting joy, everlasting peace, everlasting satisfaction, everlasting provision. And this comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, blessed are they. You know, King David says, blessed are they, all they that put their trust in him. And that is the messianic king. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessing means you receive something. You receive all the blessings, all the goodness, all the mercy, all the material goods of Almighty God. Verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren. Now, John was going to worship this angel, and the angel says, don't do it. We're not to worship people, and people do that today. They're worshiping the saints. They're worshiping Mary. And the worship, they're praising and glorifying and honoring man. We're not to do that. We're to worship God. God says, my glory will I not share with another. We're to worship the Lord. And so the angel says, just worship the Lord. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, right here it says, it's talking about Jesus, and it says, worship God. Jesus is God. And the Bible teaches this all the way through. Now, it says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The whole Bible is a book of prophecy that predicts the future. But the whole Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And God Almighty is an eternal spirit, but he has spoken to man all through the Bible. It says God appeared unto so-and-so. God appeared unto Abraham. God appeared unto this one. God appeared unto somebody else. And God has appeared that people saw God with their eyes in a human body so that we could understand him and know him. And when Jesus came, Philip says, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. We'll be satisfied if we see God the Father. Jesus said, how long have I been with you, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And so this person that was on this earth for 33 years, born in Bethlehem 2,010 years ago, he was God, the creator of the universe, and he demonstrated it by his works. Now, the rest of this chapter, like the whole Bible, is a description of Jesus Christ once again and telling us about him. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him. Now, a horse in the Bible was used in a military engagement. It was used in a war. But you know, when the conqueror of that military engagement conquered a city and he rode into the city, he would ride in on a white horse. And so the world today is getting united, and God is allowing this into one world government. We see it all the time. They talk about globalism and all of these things. But it's a government in rebellion against God. But God is allowing it to unite so that Christ will take it over. And they will finally unite and bring all the armies of the world to Jerusalem. And there Jesus will come back and defeat them. So that's what this is talking about right here, the Battle of Armageddon. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and that's the one that sat on the horse. Now, first of all, Jesus is called faithful. And somebody said to me, you believe that once you're saved, you're always saved? And I said, yes, I do, because Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus said in another place, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. The Bible says in another place, he that hath begun a good work, and you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in another place, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we come to Jesus as a humble sinner and accept him, God said that nothing will separate us from God's love. That is, Jesus is the Savior. He's going to make it so that we come into heaven. He is faithful to us. And I'm sure there are many people listening to me today. Your husband took off, or your wife has left you, or your children don't like you, or some your friends have deserted you. But Jesus is faithful. His love will never leave you once you receive him. And the second thing is, it says he is true. When he talks, he tells the truth. And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And he says, thy word is truth. Jesus said this in John 17. His words weren't just true when they were given and they're lost to us today, and now we have Bibles that conflict in thousands of places. No, we have his word in the Authorized King James Bible. And we've said it's the early church. You can read the writings of people that lived in the first part of the second century, around 100, and they have the readings of the King James Bible. It may be in Greek, but they still correspond to what we have in English. We've said the modern versions are simply counterfeits that kick out the names of Jesus in 100 places. You know, when somebody comes with a false doctrine, they always correct the King James Bible. Well, I have a Bible in the Authorized King James. We never correct it because God's word is true. He didn't say just the originals were true. That's something that somebody made up, but Jesus always said it is written. What he has is true. What we have today in the Authorized Bible is true. And it says, in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now, today judgments are made. Sometimes people are paid off, and they find out later that the person is innocent. And sometimes people make mistakes. They don't see all the evidence, or their biases take over. But it says Jesus is a righteous judge. All of his judgments are perfect and righteous. And it says, and then he makes war in righteousness. So many wars, all they are is a criminal nation, just like an individual criminal starts a war for the sake of money or for the sake of power or domination or for all these reasons. And we need a military just like we need a police force to restrain evil. But when Christ comes back, he comes back and makes war in righteousness. And he was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood. Now that refers to what he was wearing. And it says it was dipped in blood because the final war will be a shootout between God Almighty and mankind. Man will do the shooting, but Christ will take over by the power of his word. And his name is called the Word of God. Jesus Christ wrote the Bible. Sure, he wrote it through men. They copied down what he said, and they put down what he said. You say, well, how do we know that? Well, we know it because they predicted the future in hundreds of detailed prophecies, and it came to pass. And right now, we've been talking about this for a number of weeks, but the Bible describes the world at the end of the time of the second coming of Christ. And many of these things are happening already. The world is bubbling in earthquakes. Jesus says it as it would at the time of the second coming of Christ. And the Bible talks about the Jews coming back to the land. The Bible talks about the fact that there will be a debate over Jerusalem and over dividing up the land of Israel. And all of these details, plus many, many more, are happening right in front of our eyes. And if somebody doesn't see this, they're spiritually blind. And so Jesus is called the Word of God. He gave us the Bible. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, all through the Bible, it talks about Christ coming back. And when he comes back, he will always come with his saints. It says all the saints will come with him. And so we have already been raptured if we're saints of God, if we've been saved, we're raptured, we're in heaven, and we come back with him on white horses. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron. When he speaks, he spoke the universe into existence. When he spoke, the dead came back to life. When he spoke, the leper was cleansed. And so Jesus wins the war by simply speaking, and the power of his words simply obliterate the enemy. And he rules with the rod of iron. This is taken from Psalms chapter 2, where it says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing and take counsel against the Lord and against his Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Written by King David. God says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. And he said, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Today, Zionism is almost becoming a cuss word. And I believe that there's a sinister reason behind this, because Jesus Christ is going to rule from Mount Zion over this world. And it's a mount in Jerusalem, and Jesus will be the King of kings and Lord of lords. And David said he will rule with the rod of iron in Psalms 2. And then he ends up and Jesus says, I will declare the decree, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, referring to Jesus' birth. And this is also found in Psalm 2. And finally, blessed are all they that trust in him. You want the blessings of God, it's very simple. You put your trust in Jesus Christ. Now it says when he comes back, He treadeth the fierceness of the winepress and wrath of Almighty God. And a winepress, they would get the juice out by having an enclosed space, and they would put the grapes in there, and then somebody would come in there, and they would stamp the grapes down, and there was little holes around the winepress, and the juice would flow out after they would stamp the grapes down. And when Christ comes back, he is coming back as a military victor. God has never told Christians in this life to persecute, to wage war, force anybody to believe in him. That's a free thing that we do with our heart and with our soul to receive Jesus Christ. Any so-called Christian that wages war against people to try to get them to accept Christianity, they're way out of the will of God. The only war it's going to be fought when Christ comes back, and that will be over before you can even talk about it. And it says, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is, Jesus Christ will be the King of the United States. He will be the King of Russia, the King of England, the King of China, the King of India. And God has already predicted it. God has already planned it. God has said that it would happen, and it certainly will happen, and the things that are leading up to it are happening right in front of our eyes. The reason that Jerusalem is constantly in the news and the dividing up of Israel is because God said it would be, and God is getting the whole world's concentration on Jerusalem, because that is where Jesus Christ will rule and reign over this planet from Mount Zion on the city of Jerusalem. The Mount Zion is a real mountain. I sat down on that mountain, and Jesus will sit down on that mountain and rule over this world. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's over every king that is in the world. He is Lord over every king. And Lord means he's the boss. You know, today the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He died for our sins. He was punished for every sin that we ever did. He was in the grave 3 days and three nights, and then he walked out of the tomb. 500 people saw him alive. And today, if you say to Jesus, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord, my God, forgive my sins and save me, and trust in his death and in his blood shed for your sin, you will instantly be saved, and you will be forgiven of every sin that you have ever committed. Well, what a wonderful future. And this earth is not going to end up totally destroyed, but is going to end up as a paradise restored. And the problem of hunger will be settled. The problem of war will be settled. The problem of evil will be settled. Every problem that man has known will be settled. And they sing a song, I'm going to lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside and ain't going to study war no more. When Jesus comes back, that'll be the case. Ask Jesus to come in and forgive your sins and be your Lord and Savior. And today your sins will be forgiven. They'll be wiped out and God will forget them. You have a wonderful day. And let's rejoice that Jesus is coming back. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's program. To receive a free handout listing the 100 verses in the New Testament where the names of Jesus have been eliminated in the modern versions, send your email request to bbteuclid@yahoo.com. That's bbteuclid@yahoo.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. Pastor Andy Rusnacko and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10:30, followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 7, and the midweek prayer and Bible study is Wednesday at 7. Bible Baptist Temple is located at 1565 Chardon Road in Euclid. For complete ministry information, please visit online at BibleBaptistEuclid.com. That's BibleBaptistEuclid.com. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid, Ohio.